You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Hello, hello, hello. It's amazing to see some people on Christmas Day. Thank you. Yay. So it's my privilege to, I guess, give us a couple of moments to think about Christmas and what it means. This is interactive. There is chocolate in here, just saying. So we're going to be doing that. And there's so many things that you can think about with Christmas, but I'm just going to think about one thing. So first interactive one, first opportunity for chocolates. I'm going to think about, where was Jesus born? Anybody? Come over.
A barn.
Fabulous. Not a trick question. Whereabouts was this barn, this stable? Somebody want to tell me that? Oh.
Near the stable.
Thank you very much. That was beautifully done. And very nice shoes as well.
Bethlehem.
Thank you. Very good. Okay, trickier question. Why was Joseph on his way and forced to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem in the first place?
Ooh. To be counted.
Wow, round of applause. Look at that. Fabulous, fabulous. So, yeah, what we're going to think about this morning is Jesus being born, not in a hospital, not in a palace, but in a stable. So that's what we're thinking about. And what I was thinking about with it was, what does that show me about God? And what does that show me about the way he feels about me, that Jesus was born in a stable, okay? What does that show me about God? What does that show me about how he feels about me? So we know this story, but I want you to just think about it a moment. So Mary is pregnant, and she's pregnant, and she's not married. And they've come to Bethlehem. Now, all of Joseph's relatives would have had to go to Bethlehem, with my fantastic answer, to be counted. But none of them want to house Joseph and Mary because it's full of shame. She's brought shame on her family by having this, getting pregnant outside of marriage. She's brought shame on herself, and she's brought shame on Joseph's family. And they think either Joseph is covering her shame by honouring the betrothal, or they think he's responsible and he's just having to, you know, cover up his own shame. So they get to the inn, and what happens at the inn? It's not a trick question. We all know. Hang on a moment. Let's just check that we're getting the right answer. I said there's no room. Has everybody agreed? Okay, fabulous. Kate knows the story. Excellent. She doesn't want that chocolate. She can give it to somebody else later if she wants to. Okay, and so they get there, and there's no room, and then the Bible very succinctly says, and the time came for Mary to have her child. So we don't picture it in the Bible, but that means she's on that donkey, she's doubling up every few minutes, she needs to get off that donkey, she needs to get in somewhere. Joseph, you can feel that panic and that urgency. I've never done this before, I don't know what to do, we're somewhere else, I've not been here, I don't know anything, what can I do? And they're frantic, and they get to the inn, there's no room. And the innkeeper says, you can have the stable. Now, he doesn't say, hang on a minute, I'll send the lads in, we'll clean it out, we'll get the power wash in, we'll bring in some beds, we'll put some clean sheets, I'll find a midwife from somewhere. No, it's kind of like round the back. And he has to push himself in amongst all the animals to help Mary have her baby. So we tend to think of, is that what I do? Ooh, yeah, we tend to think of them as this holy family with the halo round. Now, anybody know a way in a manger? Mm-hmm. So the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. Can anybody do me the next line? The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes.
Little Lord Jesus, no crying he made.
Come on, round of applause. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! study on what you have to do to get somebody to sing. Fabulous. And, you know, it's... I love that song. And as a little aside, Sophie in the Christmas Nativity... She's here. I'm going to embarrass her for as long as I can. She was in the little infant nativity play, had to sing it, and her hands were going like this the whole time she was singing it because she was really nervous singing Away in a Manger. So it's a fabulous song. But that whole idea, the cattle are lowing, the baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. You know, he's above it all. He's unscathed. He's untouched. He's kind of like a Vulcan Zen-like character that just swans through life. Nothing touches him. It's the complete opposite to the Christmas story. And just a little aside for Mr. Neville Holland said, I wonder why Mary's in blue. And it's the first time in my life that I did history of art in my first year at university that I've ever had to use it. So get ready. It's because the paint in the Renaissance times, blue paint was the most expensive paint. And so they used it only on very, very holy, royal, special. And so Mary was painted with it. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Never thought I'd have to ever use my history of art, but come on, Debs Burnham, she knows. So, you know, we think of them as this, halos untouched, but the reality is they were born in a stable, okay? And what I want you to think about is that Jesus was born into all the muck and mess of humanity. So he was born into all that shame that Mary was carrying, all that fear, all that pain, all that rejection, and all that wonder that comes with a baby. Every kind of raw emotion of our lives, Jesus was born into. That's what that stable means to us. And it's as if God's saying, let's start as we mean to go on. You know? So I was thinking about the stable. And what animals might there have been in the stable? Come up, come on, guys, come and show me. Fabulous. Well, it wasn't a dog, but...
A cow.
Very good. Could have been a cow.
Donkey and a sheep.
A donkey and a sheep. Could have been an alligator. No? Oh.
Just having a chocolate.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just cut to the chase. Let's just cut to the chase. Excellent, excellent, fabulous. I blame the parents. Let's talk to them later. Let's see whether we can help them. So, yeah, I think we got nearly all of them. If I can do it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Donkey, oxen, sheep. And then I traumatised myself because I'm actually quite scared of mice. But I thought barns, there might be mice, there might be rats. But I didn't even want to go that far. Okay. So, now, I bet you didn't know how the best way to remember Christmas is for a identify the poo. Okay, I thought in a stable, all those animals, there's going to be a lot of poo. So, top hand corner, anybody like to go for that kind of little smidgeny type stuff? Malcolm feels he's a poo connoisseur. We'll find out why later.
Am I going with mouse, rabbit, horse, and
oh, he's going for all of them. Okay, you've got one. If I'm being really... No, you've got two wrong. You can have a thing with C. He's saying mouse. He's right. He's saying cow, that gruesome sort of fat round thing at the end. So, but the two, one next to the smallies and the kind of really, I thought, choice one down the bottom, if I'm being really picky. Talking of down the bottom, that's quite a good thing. So let's see if... let's see if Edward knows anything about poo. He's come in late. He's had no presents. Let's embarrass him a little bit further. What do you think, looking at the poo next to the mice, what do you reckon?
I have no idea. I reckon. Donkey?
Okay. Donkey. The one at the bottom is donkey. He knows donkey poo. The lady behind me, looking beautiful in red, thinks she knows.
Sheep.
Very, very good. Come on down. Some people really know their poo, which is excellent. So, a lot... loving that poo. Yes, look at that. So, I just thought, you know, we need to think about the fact that we tend to think of it being, you know, holy, but it was probably a bit more... bit more smelly, no time to clean, you know? And I want you to realise that... Jesus wants to come into all our mess, and we tend to think we have to look better. We should be better than we are. We should be further on than we are. We try to hide who we are a lot of the time. And weirdly, we try to hide who we are a lot of the time at church because we think especially we should look our best and appear our best. But Jesus wants to come into all our mess, all our failures, all our failings. And that's what the stable represents. And I felt God say to me, Debs, I want you to talk about the stable because there's too much shame still in the church. And I don't want anybody having shame because shame stops you receiving love. And the whole message is, I love you. That's why I've came. So, come. Gosh, Debs, get your English right. Okay. So, what we're going to do is we're going to practice tidying up some mess. Okay, so hang on one moment. When somebody is coming to stay, what we normally do is what I like to call panic tidying. And when we do panic tidying, I turn into a very fascist kind of aggressive sort of person. Go and clean the bathroom. You, hoover up. Take those things upstairs. Put that in your bedroom. And do all this kind of stuff. And then the person comes through the door and says, oh, how nice to see you. No trouble at all. Come on in. No, not a problem. We haven't really tried hard for 6 weeks clearing everything and tidying up and pretending to be something different. Okay, and what we do when we're really panic tidying is what we're saying is, I want to hide who I really am and appear to be better than I am so that you'll feel comfortable. Okay, and there is going to be a game, and I'll just tell you what the point of it is before because it might be loosely linked. We don't have to do that with Jesus. So I need two people who are going to, in 30 seconds, see how much they can panic tidy up for me. Two volunteers, you just got to pick up rubbish in 30 seconds. I've got one. I've got two. Fabulous. Just going to tell you now, okay, use your initiative, which means in that's posh talk for cheat, okay, just so you know. You know, there are no rules, okay, and there's a lot of people you might possibly. So, I need somebody with a timer, because I haven't got one. I need, he's rustling in. We need 30 seconds to see how much rubbish you can get in your bag, in quotes. Are we ready? Starting from now.
Do you want to help him pick up some rubbish?
Do you want to help him?
Come on, go and help him.
Dog's helping as well. Okay, what are we on? 15 seconds left. Oh, I tell you what, Sarah, you've got Bessie well trained. Look at that. She's a professional. Look at that. Bessie, get it in the bag. One. Stop! Woo! Let's have a little look. Oh. Oh. Okay. We've got, yeah, quite inventive. Very good. Oh, we've got very nice. And look at Bessie. Look. Woo! Fabulous. Right, guys, you all deserve a sweet. Yeah. Have a little sweetie. Oh, my idea of it getting tidied up didn't totally work. We'll worry about that a bit later. Would you like another one? Oh, can you hear that? What did you say? Say thank you. Oh, very well trained. Let me clear the bag of. That is all right, Mum. Do not. No, that's fine. That is that. You can keep those. That's fine. That is absolutely fine. So, okay. I just want to get across to you with this. Well, it's quite graphic now. That Jesus wants to come into our mess. All right. And sometimes we try to deal with it ourselves, and we fill it up, and we try and deal with it ourselves. But do you know what that is? That's self-righteousness, and it doesn't get you anywhere. Or we try and minimize it as a way of hiding it. Oh, it was only mild. It didn't really matter. Everybody's doing it anyway. But no, actually, it's muck and mess. But Jesus wants to come and deal with it. He wants to come into all of it. So, God, we sometimes think, I'll deal with my struggles by myself. I'll deal with them by myself. This is my battle. I've really got to try and sort this out. And sometimes I have people in my cell group, they'll go, oh, yeah, I'll come back to cell when I'm sorted. Rather than coming and being in the place where you're a mess and having everybody just love you as you are and let Jesus come and sort it out. Okay? So that's what the stable is about. So, here's a couple of scriptures to prove what I'm saying. Romans 5, verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still in our mess. Yeah? But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our mess, he came and gave us life. So Jesus has no illusions about us, and he loves us completely. And when I was thinking about this scripture, these two scriptures, and what I wanted to say, they don't kind of get across the passion of God's heart, yeah? Because we know it so well. But what I want to tell you is what those scriptures are saying is there's nothing about you that puts Jesus off you. Nothing. There is nothing too foul, too disgusting, too revolting, too weak, too horrific, too shameful that Jesus won't wade through to get to you. There's a song at the moment that I'm absolutely loving called The Reckless Love of God. You know, there's no mountain he won't climb up. You know, there's no shadow he won't lie up chasing after you. There's no wall he won't kick down. There's no lie he won't tear down chasing after you. The reckless love of God leaves the 99, but the reckless love of God sends Jesus as a baby into our world, to a stable, because he loves us. And when I was talking to the Lord and saying, you know, what's today about? I felt I was listening to this song that I absolutely love that says about the Holy Spirit. And it says, my heart became free and my shame was undone, you know, by your presence, Jesus. And I felt that God was saying with the stable, there's nothing about who you are that stops Jesus wanting you. And I want that to become true. I want us to know that. So, it's not working. It's not working, Craig, because I had a little zhungy zhung and those come up after a picture. But not to worry. I'll manage on to own for a little moment. Obviously, Northern comes in when your PowerPoint doesn't work. So, what I felt, I had a picture and it was saying all the things that we can sometimes say about ourselves. But that's not going to work, but not to worry. But shame is that feeling that in some way, somehow I'm not good enough. Or to put it another way, somehow I'm not really lovable. I'm a mess. There's something wrong with me. And God wants him to come into that. And I guess what those two pictures were going to come down. One's the angels. And he changes us to become a place of worship and to become a place of honor. And that's what he does when he absolutely demolishes shame. So what I wanted to do was, with all of us, is just to get us to stand and put our hands on our hearts and just welcome Holy Spirit to do that in us, that he will take away shame so that we can really receive his love. So guys, kiddiewinks as well, can we put our hands on our hearts? Because we want to really know we're loved and let Jesus in a bit more. Fabulous. So Holy Spirit, I just welcome you and I thank you, Jesus, that you came to a stable. You came into all the muck and mess, and you know all our muck and mess. And I want to ask Jesus, in the power of your name, that you would undo shame in our hearts. And I want to pray, love of God, just permeate every part of who we are. So we get it, that nothing separates us from your love. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.